A debate over the reauthorization of the National Defense Authorization Act is causing quite a stir around the country. The legislation is brought before Congress each year in order to provide funding for the U.S. Department of Defense. One section of the bill in particular is leaving some Americans concerned. Section 1021 defines the powers of the president in regards to the detention of enemy combatants. Opponents claim that the wording of the bill is vague and possibly open to the abuse of power, including the detention of American citizens. Section 1021 does not include American citizens within its definition of a terrorist or aiding terrorist organizations. However, Section 1022 does state American citizens are exempt from indefinite detention until the end of a military conflict. Christopher Anders is the senior legislative counsel at the American Civil Liberties Union. His organization believes Section 1021 is unconstitutional.
We believe that it would be unconstitutional to put a United States citizen behind bars without charge or trial. What's very disturbing about the way this legislation was passed, though, is that there were a number of senators, important senators, who were saying that this is a kind of power that should even be used in the United States and even be used against American citizens. We think that's wrong. We think that's unconstitutional. But it's very disturbing that we have people out there who are interested and seem willing to let this power be used that way.
The ACLU isn't the only group opposing the legislation. Shahid Bitar is executive director of the Bill of Rights Defense Committee. He also sees Section 1021 as an assault on the Constitution.
It's frontal assault on the Constitution. If you look at the Constitution's Fifth Amendment in terms of the due process requirement, the Sixth Amendment, the right to trial, well, for that matter, the 14th Amendment and the right to equal protection and the further protection for due process in the 14th Amendment, or for that matter, any of the protections in the First Amendment, the right to speak or assemble or freedom of the religious expression or association or of the press, every single one of those freedoms are assaulted by the powers that an executive branch could assert under the NDAA.
Critics see this issue as something greater than the usual left-right divide. Anders says this bill goes directly to the core of what Americans believe in.
It's an important issue. It goes to the very heart of who we are as Americans. We're not a country that locks people up without charge or trial. We're a country that has restraints. We have checks and balances. And no president should ever be given such broad powers to pick people up and put them in prison far from any battlefield.
And Bitar says anyone who believes in the American system should be worried.
Anyone who believes in democracy or checks and balances or transparency or our Constitution has to be opposed to this law because it is so dangerous to all of those values.
Despite the concerns from opponents, the legislation enjoys wide-range support. Andrew McCarthy is co-chair of the Center for Law and Counterterrorism at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. McCarthy believes this bill makes no changes to existing law.
All it does is enable the president to designate enemy combatants who must fit the definition of enemy combatants in legislation that goes back to the immediate aftermath of 9/11. If they are designated, they can be held by the military, but that does not mean that the military is let loose to go, you know, find and capture them inside the United States.
The latest NDAA bill is seeing support from both sides of the political aisle. Bitar says both parties are undermining American values.
If you look at the Democratic and Republican parties, we have a choice, but they agree on one of the most disturbing, dangerous, and un-American policies that our nation has ever considered. And it's not only, I think, devastating to our rights substantively and very disturbing in terms of what it means for our country and our governance, but I think it really does undermine our claim, the values that we claim in American exceptionalism.
President Obama signed fiscal year 2012 NDAA legislation into law, but included a signing statement saying he would not use the powers to detain Americans. However, Anders sees room for potential future abuse of this power.
And in his signing statement, he said that he did not plan on applying this to American citizens, this new provision. But the problem is, he's never said that he doesn't believe it can never be used that way. And so this is basically a promise. It's a promise from a president. It's a promise in writing from a president. But it doesn't bind any future president. It actually doesn't really even bind him either. It's not the same thing as saying that there is no authority and that this can't be used in the future.
McCarthy believes those concerns are unfounded. He says many rules exist that constrain the power of the president.
In the end, there are enormous political constraints on presidents not to abuse the rights of American citizens. And I think we ought to be a little bit more confident in our ability as a political culture to ensure that the people that we elect to conduct a war go about conducting the war, not using it as a pretext to harass Americans.
Opposition to the NDAA is also being witnessed at the state level. Maine, Virginia, North Carolina, Rhode Island, and Washington have all seen legislation aimed at reducing the powers of the federal government under the NDAA. McCarthy says sharing information between the states and the federal government is important to the defense of the country.
When folks in the states do these kinds of grandstanding things, I'm usually a pretty strong states' rights person, but you know, defending the nation is one of the actual obligations that the federal government has. There's a lot of us who would like to see the federal government do a lot less, but national security is something that it has to do. It really does that efficiently only when it's cooperating and sharing information with the states. And when the states do stuff like this, it really creates a roadblock to the effective sharing and gathering of intelligence.
Recently, a federal judge in New York issued a preliminary injunction against the NDAA provision because of possible violations of the First Amendment. Federal prosecutors are now urging the judge to lift the injunction. This is Adam Albrick of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.